having a dead god. What's the point?
No, Ryan. You don't understand me and my words.
So tell me, or I swear I'll put your brains all over the wall.
Be gentle, Ryan. This is our plan. We can cure Jack. We have the herbs to do it. There is time for this.
Oh, I get it. Yeah, clever, Itzcoatl. You want Jack to stay behind, and the rest of us to go. We go when you give Jack the antidote.
That is the word, antidote. None of us could remember it. Yes, you are right. You go now. Back to your homes. Jack stays. We cure him.
What if I run off? You haven't thought about that, Chief?
Oh, yes. We guard you. It is not for long, because we need your being a god for a short time. Perhaps a hand of days.
Mildred suddenly drew her revolver and stepped in very close to the native, ramming the muzzle under his chin.
Why don't you call out and get your people to bring the antidote, Chief, before you get to be dead?
If you kill me, then I go to live with the gods. So let it be. I do not know who holds the antidote or where he is. One of our priests has left the village with it. He will return when a certain note is played on the drum and trumpet and pipe. Only one person in the village knows that signal. I do not. You can shoot us all, every warrior and woman and child, and it will not save the god's life.
You think he's telling the truth about the illness, Mildred? Could be bluffing.
Mildred glared at Itzcoatl, then eased the hammer down on the ZKR 551. She turned to Jack.
Get on the bed. Let's take a look at you.
Jack stripped off his shirt, showing his wiry frame, the skin like ivory, the whipcord muscles gleaming in the light of the torch on the wall. He bit his lip, and he was sweating like a rainstorm. He laid his right hand across his solar plexus.
Yeah.
Fine. Arms at your sides now.
The examination took only a couple of minutes, while everyone, including Itzcoatl, watched her in silence. She looked in Jack's red eyes, then checked his pulse and respiration, probed at the glands in his throat, down in his groin, making him wriggle uncomfortably. She concentrated on his abdomen.
Try to relax, Jack. You're stiff as a board, honey.
It's like some animal eating my guts from the inside. My fingers go numb.
She straightened and looked at Itzcoatl.
All right, you bastard. I believe you. He's dying. How do we know you got the antidote?
Because I tell you so. I tell you how it is. Now, time passes. Will you go?
Got us over a barrel, Jack.
He digs wisely. Now take what you want and go. Take the gun of the god. He will not need it.
Dean glanced at his father, then removed the big Colt Python and stuck it in his belt beside his own Browning high power. Jack made no move to stop him, his ruby eyes looking around at the solemn faces of his friends.
So long. Make it quick.
He's right. So long, friend. This isn't the end.
Hell, I know that.
Everyone said their goodbyes, either by a clasp of the hand or with a kiss on the feverish cheek. It took only a half minute to collect their possessions and leave the hut without a backward glance. Half the village, all armed, stood outside, watching their exit. Itzcoatl stood in the doorway. He looked genuinely sorry.
You have given us so great help. We have no grudge with any of you.
How about if we call back here in a couple of weeks, Chief?
Itzcoatl didn't answer, staring beyond Ryan and the others at the surrounding wall of jungle.
Yeah. I get the picture.
J.B. Dix stopped suddenly when they were a mile away from the village, halting in a moonlit clearing.
I never had anyone throw me my guns and tell me to run.
Don't talk too loud. Natives only left us a couple hundred paces back. Could easily be tracking us from the trees.
This is the most beastly hole that we've ever found ourselves in. I confess that I had never looked for such a sorry conclusion to this strange expedition.
Not over till the fat lady sings, Doc. We have to trust them.
Why? Why trust those fuckheads? We helped them, saved their pestle-ville from the dangers. We did that, and all they do is try to chill Jack.
Their religion. They think it was really Jack who did it all for them. We were just along for the ride. As long as they keep their white-headed god with them, they'll be fine with good crops and strong, healthy children. Their religion.
Why didn't he answer, Dad? When you asked about coming by in 2 weeks?
I don't know, son. Got some guesses, but none of them's good ones. I've been thinking since we left the village.
Go on, lover.
They aren't stupid. They'll expect us to try a rescue. Be looking for us around dawn. We won't be there. We wait out here for the rest of the night. Scout around and see if they're out there watching us.
Jack could be dead by the dawn, unless they really have an antidote.
Nothing else makes sense, Dr. Wyeth, does it? If they have no antidote to the poison, then the lad is doomed. There is nothing we can do to save him, is there? I believe that they will save him. But for what and how long? Those are more pertinent questions.
We'll go a little farther away, then start to circle. JP, you can split off from us and backtrack. See if there's someone watching us. But leave that for an hour or so. Give anyone time to give up and go back to the village.
When do we go in?
I think we have to take a chance on this one. The way I see it, they'll save Jack's life. But they want him for something. I got an uneasy feeling about why they need him. You feel anything, lover?
Not really. Nothing I can lay a finger on. But I don't pick up any good vibrations. He's their chosen god. Spoken of in the olden times. Maybe times that are older than anything we can know.
Indeed. There are mysteries back in time that no man can comprehend. Old cities buried beneath the dark weight of the waters. Monstrous horrors from beyond cold space. Entities so blasphemous that a human mind that confronts them can only lose its hold on sanity and become a gibbering madman. In his house at Rilia, dead Cthulhu waits dreaming.
What was that crap, Doc? Times I think you're a few test tubes short of a laboratory.
And there are many times that I would agree with you, my dear friend. My mind wanders off on pathways of its own, and I have scant control over it. My apologies to you.
Well, now you make me feel bad, you old bastard. Doc, just forget it. I'm worried sick to my heart about young Jack.
We all are, Mildred. And we'll do what we can for him.
When? They'll have a good watch on him. What if they decide to do something to Jack tomorrow? We won't be able to do a thing.
We'll be close by. Not going to be any rest for anyone tonight. It's going to be a long, hard trudge through the forest. Try and get back somewhere close to the village during the morning. Come in from the north. We can hide up near that pyramid place. Everyone ready?
Do you think we will need the rest of this thermite mixture? It weighs devilish heavy.
Might yet come in handy for us. It worked well enough, didn't it?
Like I said, some hard walking to come. And everyone step light.
The moon drifted lower in the sky, and the jungle grew darker, the shadows deeper. It was a warm night, the temperature not falling below 70 degrees. By the time the first glow of the false dawn was lightening the horizon, Ryan had brought them within a mile of the village. Ryan and the others had burrowed deep inside a massive clump of flowering orchids. They had a rich scent that Doc said reminded him of visits to a crematorium, but they provided excellent cover. Despite protests of tiredness from Doc and Dean, Ryan had insisted on leading the group in a huge circle, covering about 15 miles during the hours of darkness, finishing to the north of the village, then closing back in again, until they were less than 100 yards away from the steep-sided, flat-topped pyramid. It was 30 minutes or so from full dawn. Jack was aware of hands holding him, helping to move him to what seemed to be an upright position. But his body was stiff, his limbs resisting any attempt to bend. They were trying to get him to drink something, the edge of a pottery vessel pressing against his numb lips. Dean was asleep, lying curled up, his hands jammed between his thighs. Doc had also given himself up to rest, lying in a similar fetal position, his hands folded on his chest, eyelids twitching with REM. Mildred smiled at the old man.
Look at him. I don't know how he keeps up. Tougher than last year's Thanksgiving turkey. Now he's got rapid eye movement, showing how he's enjoying a good session of dreaming.
Christy lay back against a large moss-covered boulder, her feet crossed.
That was a tough march. Wonder how Jack's feeling.
Ryan moved to the edge of the cover, peering through the broad leaves, making sure that nobody from the village was yet stirring on the nearby trail.
Maybe we'll learn something. Overhear a word on how he is. It's possible.
It only happens in some of the pre-dark vids with all those steroid-inflated heroes. Just have to wait here and watch.